Lunchbox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Like an airplane getting us landing. You're landing in Juicebox. I know. I understand why you used to always say you're landing in Juicebox. So
you're
don't.
I'm getting it now after a year.
Get it. I know. I know. I should be Betty Boop. You know. I really should. Anyway, if you're just joining us right now, don't touch the dial. You have landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR's 101.9 FM, or maybe you're one of our podcast listeners. One of our online listeners at CITR.ca, and you're joining Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray for Juicebox. And if you ever miss one of our shows, you can download the podcast at juiceboxradio.com. Tonight's show is all about speed dating in the 30 to 40 category with the Rendezvous Club in Vancouver.
Oh my God. It was
quite an incredible night with 17 women and 17 guys. And man, do we ever have some good stories for you. So if you've got some good stories for us, we're taking calls as per usual. So feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having, especially if you were actually there, or if you've ever speed dated, or you wonder what it's like. Call us with your questions at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. That's my sexy voice. Maybe if I used that, I would have had more dates.
Maybe. I think you were having a little off night, actually, last Thursday, Caroline.
Perhaps.
I had a feeling you had an off night. What was going on for you? Give me some of the ideas that were happening for you that night. What was going on?
It was funny. It was one of those nights where, for speed dating, I don't know if all our listeners here, if you've heard our previous show where we actually checked out the 25 to 35 year old category, but we had a great time that night, and I was kind of looking forward to a little bit more of the same. So I had more fun getting dolled up and calling Julia on the phone beforehand. You know, Julia, that was my favorite part of the night, actually, getting dolled up. And then eating, well, because we like getting there early so we can spy on all our people coming in so we can check out the talent, both
we
of that and the competition.
Did you call them talent on air? I thought that was a secret word.
Oh, I'm sorry. I blew the secret. Sorry, listeners. You know what I call men that are attractive now.
She has some talent. So, I don't know. You're right. I think we did get there early. We did get to eat, and we got to watch people coming in. But
it is. That worked really well for our cherry-popping experience at the eatery when we lost our virginity to speed dating. Thanks to Charles.
Thanks to Charles. I found the venue was a little casual compared to the eatery. It was a little bit more grown up, though, because the eatery is a bit, you know, fun, kind of cartoony, kind of a bit childish. I mean, as much as Randy, who owns it, is older than I am, he kind of has an attachment to the comic.
That's true.
I did like the sophisticated views of, you know, the area, the trees and stuff like that, and being up above and everything.
I found it a little too casual, actually, at the beginning, where I didn't like, because it's one of the things I don't like about going to places like Starbucks for a date is...
Don't ever go to Starbucks. Don't even say the word.
But the bottom line is when you go there, your hair smells like coffee. The only thing I want to use coffee on is my butt. So then that way it helps and works against my cellulite.
All you need to do to work your cellulite, girlfriend, is just shake your shit.
Why shake my
shit
all the time?
Just work it, man. Just shake it. Shake it.
I teach pole dancing, baby.
I know you teach pole dancing, but I don't see you really wiggling your gush gush. I don't see the gush gush shaking
that much. You haven't gone
much.
Dancing with me lately. No. I was too posy last time. Up on a stage and losing my nipple covers.
That's right.
At our fetish ball, which you can listen to our old podcast before.
Yes, the fetish ball. The pettish.
The pettish.
It was only slightly pettish. Me and the guy with the bone in his ass. So I think you should come shake it with me at the old dollhouse party on Saturday night this Saturday, and I'll see how you could shake it.
I think I may have to, although I may be at the Jericho Tennis Club because it's the naughty Seven Sins or whatever that's going
God,
on.
They
and
do
a dear
that.
Friend of mine, Yvonne, is actually going to be dancing there with them.
Oh, yeah, that's a good night. I've heard, my good friend Lynn.
I am a virgin.
Oh.
Do tell. I want to be intrigued.
I think maybe I'm going to check out my friend Lynn and be like, how come you haven't invited me? Although there's some issues with the divorce happening. All right, so let's talk about
let's talk about
30 to 40-year-old speed dating night, which was really interesting for me. I found the night, I had a great time.
I did too.
Did you?
Well, I did up until we got there.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I wrote kind of a nasty blog about it, but it wasn't my cup of tea. We should probably talk about as well in terms of speed dating, like what is it? And because there may be some people who haven't heard our previous shows and things like that. So for those of you out there who haven't checked out speed dating before, basically for this particular one, there were 17 men and there were 17 women. What they do is they seat the women around, and I still have this theory. I don't know if Julia agrees with me or not about the heel factor in terms of it's because we're in heels, so we don't want to walk. We just have to wear really cute cleavage shirts and sit down. And basically, the men play musical chairs. They sit down with you for 5 minutes, and you have these conversations, and then they hit the bell, and then the man goes off to the next date. So basically, you go through 17 of these. We did take a break, thankfully, in between. And
have a bit of a mix and mingle break with a few snacks, time to go pee, etc.
And they have the mix and mingle break. Bingo.
So I think that Charlie, I know he's going to be calling from our lovely juice box boy, will be calling in soon, 5 minutes or so.
And he's also...
And we can ask him.
We can ask him.
We can ask him about that question. Can you remember that question?
I'll try. My wee brain, sometimes it's kind of challenging, but...
All right. So I personally want to talk about the fact that I had a good time. I mean, we do a lot of things for research, don't we?
We do. We do so much for research.
So much for research. And
so then that way our listeners can date better. They can learn from our experiences.
That's right. They don't have to suffer.
What we do, we suffer, right. And we sacrifice, and we give ourselves up. I think I sound like a masochist, don't I?
Yeah. And then we...
You can tell I haven't had sex lately.
I think I'm a masochist and I have had sex lately. Anyway, because I'm like constantly beating myself up. You're not doing enough of a good job. Okay, so I want to say that I actually did have a good time. And I'm not sure if the Rendezvous Club put us in a special horrible seating area because he knew that you and I were like there for free and they were just going to make it hard on us. But
you think in terms of the fact they're giving us press passes, because we're going to be on air about this, that they would
have treated us like royalty.
Exactly.
So that we would have been like, and it was comfortable and we didn't have to yell and we could hear everybody. But then, you know, I guess they want the paying customers to be the most happy.
And understandably so. But
who knows?
I don't know about you, but I couldn't hear three quarters of the night. I sat there straining, and 5 minutes is a really long time when you can't hear somebody who's sitting directly across from you.
I had one date on the 25 to 35-year-old night that we went on a few months ago, whatever, and the guy who couldn't speak the greatest English, the French man, and...
yeah, I remember him.
He was cute. He was a PhD. But I'm all like...
It don't matter.
But I couldn't understand anything. And so it's kind of like you're sort of smiling, you're kind of nodding. All right, so we have a lot of things we're going to share with the listeners tonight, but at first I wanted to say... I personally found that the men were more real and that they were more authentic. And I, you know, I think about the chiropractor from 25 to 35 age group from before, who I went on a date with, and found friends that had heard the same story from him, same lines, same bullshit. So I kind of,
you
know.
Found other people who dated him too? Or?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You did not tell
Small
me this.
Small town. Be Thank careful you what you do there, chiropractor, how you're going to be and
I
what you're going to say.
Listening in. Maybe he should call us.
Probably not, but maybe I'll just email him the podcast.
Lovely.
Anyway, so, and then there's the repeat customer guy that we ran into.
My goodness.
That was at the 25 to 35, and he was also at this one. And I think, you know, I don't know. Just I found in general. So that was one out of the 17 men, and
he
I found
that pretty scary.
He was cute.
Hygiene. It's an issue.
Yes, well, he was rubbing.
He was picking his nose, Julia. Men, if you're listening out there, do not pick up your nose. Pick your nose when you're on a date. Whatever
don't
you do,
this.
Do not
don't
pick
wipe,
your nose and wipe your nose.
Don't wipe your nose snot on your fingers. Don't wipe your nose snot on your hands, boys. All right. So I did find actually just the men in general were more real and authentic. And I found them more down to earth. They talked about their careers, talked about their hobbies, as opposed to sort of goofy things that the younger crowd had done. They're very enthusiastic. I think they were very authentically themselves. I found there's some amazing, hilarious comedians. You know who you are. So amazing comedians. And there's lots of confidence there, too, because they're older, you know, lots of nice things. A lot of my notes were, like, sweet, authentic, kind, funny, all these things. I think these are really good.
I found some of them were a little set in their ways because they were older.
They're probably 40 or 45.
That's true.
I did have a connection to a few of them, and even though 15 out of 17 of them chose to date me, which was very good. If I were single, I'd probably have only dated a few of them again, personally. I mean, there was the pilot. There was that quiet, young-looking one, the one that was started with you and ended with me. There's the British funny guy. I liked him a lot. And the sexy Latin dancer from Peru. You liked him, too.
He was really cool.
Yeah. So there's lots of good choices there, Caroline. I mean, you were having an off night. And I think there's lots of others that I probably have friends with. There was Mr. Hilarious. He knows who he is. There was the ambulance chief guy. He was hilarious. I loved him. Great connections, you know, but great connections don't always mean sex and dating, right?
So some of them are just for friends, but I spent a lot of time there thinking, you know, I'd rather be with friends like you, for example, and spending more time with you and actually having a conversation with you or other friends of mine that I haven't spent enough time with lately, as opposed to meeting these people, even though some of them I got along with really nicely, the ones I could actually hear, which, yes, those were usually the comedians because they're used to the voice projection factor, so I could actually hear them. And there's one guy who actually played me some tango music because we were talking about the Argentinian tango.
Was that the Peruvian lovely sexy guy?
There was two different guys who talked to me about the dance, so I'm not quite sure when they found out I taught dance classes. And then there were some that were set in their ways that were like, you're a pole dance instructor. stripper, which of course that got my back up right
and
you're away.
Like, I'm not a fucking stripper.
Exactly.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong
with
strippers.
No, there's nothing
wrong
with strippers.
But I do too.
I'm just not one.
They're great. Why not?
I never have been one. But.
I only strip for my friends at parties. And then I get dressed again, which is their favorite part.
I only strip for men that I actually date, that I've actually been with long enough, which hasn't happened that often.
I only strip in large groups, and then I put my clothes back on in front of them with the same gyrations and music.
It's almost sexier getting dressed.
It is almost sexier, and I've gotten quite good reviews. All right. So I liked, with this one, I liked the diversity of the nationalities. I liked the diversity of ages, the looks, the heights, the men that were dressed, and lots of different personas going on. There was a lot of interest there. There's 17 women as well, and much more interesting conversation. I found very real conversations. The ones that weren't super funny, you know, they I don't know, they were just like, we talked about wine, we talked about a lot of things, and I found them all very nice people. I don't think anything was too strikingly gorgeous hot, except for the one young one that started with you, ended with me guy.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, you can have him
if you're single.
If I was single, I might have him. Anyway, and then I also like the Peruvian Latin dancer guy. I'd have him.
He was nice, but I noticed I could understand why the Rendezvous Club chose that venue towards the end of the evening as it got dark and it was lovely skylight and the candles. And the people I didn't find as attractive at the beginning of the evening, I started feeling more attracted to, but maybe that was the wine. I don't know. It's very possible.
I don't know, but honey, you and I are getting older, and
what,
you know, this genuineness and the authenticity, I think it's I appreciate it. I appreciate a real conversation. The younger one was very like blah blah blah, goofy whatever, just all jokey, which can be fun too, and there was a couple of men that were doing that, and I did enjoy it as a bit of a break between the men that were looking for a wife. You could just tell.
Those ones scared me.
I was not scared at all.
Me, caveman. Kunk.
No. They were
there was a couple of those like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. They're kind of freaky and kind of scary.
Maybe they use a different language on me.
But they seem to like you, my darling blonde wonder.
So how does the 30 plus compare to the 25 plus experience? What did you?
I found the 25 plus. My issue with that was I found a lot of them just wanted to date. Well, fuck. But
What is dating? Is it fucking? Is it?
You know what? I didn't get
interviewing you for a relationship. What the fuck is it?
It wasn't necessarily.
It makes me mad. I want to know
why. It wasn't necessarily. I didn't get. I want to fuck you. All the time.
Not
with
the older ones. No.
The older ones totally wanted to fuck me. The younger ones. Sorry, that sounds so egocentric.
I love your hand. Yes.
I'm very posy.
You're so gorgeous.
Thank you, darling.
All right.
But the younger ones, I actually found I spoke to them a lot, and I actually connected with them where I felt really comfortable because sense of humor is really important
to me. The younger ones?
Yes.
The younger crowd. Okay.
The younger crowd. And maybe it's because I'm a child at heart. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But I did really well. I mean, I got, you know, 10
but
out of the 11.
You were happy. You got 10 out of the 11 because you were happy. You were having fun. It was like a new experience. Some of the guys were pretty cute.
Some
I have to
really
admit,
cute.
There was about
and there was a couple I actually
really
would consider. You know, there was a couple that I'd actually consider dating.
And
if
how
I was,
come you have not?
Because they're too young for me, darling, and I'm not ready to train anymore.
Right.
Unless
I'm
it's
not
an
willing,
exercise in bed.
You're not willing to train. I understand. I'm not willing to train either. I've gotten very, very lazy. I want a man who's just gonna know what he's doing. Get me off. I can get him off with my eyes shut. And it's just like,
exactly.
Can we just not talk about it anymore? Aren't I terrible?
I want somebody I can talk to. And
oh,
I found with the
different. I'm not
I found with the 30
that.
To 40s. They were so some of them were really nice. And the comedian ones cracked me up a lot. Those ones I really enjoyed talking to.
Oh, God, yes. Raj, we love you.
Yes, Raj, we totally do.
I thought you were so funny and so great. He's not listening, I know, because he told me he just isn't.
He doesn't listen
it.
To our show.
But now he just isn't good with the internet. He probably has no idea. Although I'll just send him our thing.
Our podcast.
Yeah.
No, because there were some guys that were really funny, but for the majority of it, I found there were a lot of spaces where it was hard to talk, and I think we've got a call.
You couldn't
might
hear.
Be
it's
couldn't
probably
hear
Charlie.
Them.
It's
it
probably
might be Charlie.
Charlie. Let's just put him right on the air, okay? Charles. Oh,
did
Charles.
Hello,
Charles. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, excellent. So we have a couple of questions.
Yeah, I've been listening. I'm terrified.
Yeah, should be. So Rendezvous Club, Charlie is one of the key organizers. I don't know what else.
What is your position, darling?
Yes, what is your position, darling?
Pretty much just God around there.
Well, we know you're God. You're so God. I was worshiping you there. I even gave you a massage before your hockey game.
I did. A guy, one of the daters came in, and I said, yeah, complimentary massages for all the daters. And his eyes lit up like Christmas Day. And then I had to sort of break the bad news that it was just me.
All right. So anyway, Mr. God. So
I think he might like it if we call him that or Jesus all the time.
Jesus. So what was the question that you had?
My question for you was, what are the guys normally like that go, and what are the women usually like? Like, is that what
was that
you normally
norm?
Get?
The 30 to 40, was that the norm?
When you were talking about the differences between the 30 to 40 and the 25 to 35?
Yes. Yeah, like, were those kinds of people that were there, was that the kind of norm for both?
It's really strange. It really depends on the feeling of the night, the venue, a lot of different things.
I mean visually, honey.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. When I say that, the feeling of the night means they drink more at the beginning, and people get better looking as I drink.
So it's like that Prince song, "You Got the Look."
Exactly. So, a lot of times if we have a venue where the lights are on, obviously at Cup of Joe's, the sun was coming in, and your first few dates, you might be like, ugh, and then later on, it's like, not so much anymore. I think at the eatery, right, it was dark and the candles were lit and you got the black light. And
everyone looks good.
And everybody looks, like they're
better.
Leave or something.
So it's like going to a nightclub and you see them when the lights go on. It's the scary lights and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to see this human. And because Julia and I left early because we had to hit the show,
right,
we didn't get to see them with the ugly lights on.
Yeah, probably.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So you're saying that there was ugly people there?
No, I can't say that about my clients.
All right, fair
Nobody
enough.
Was ugly there, Caroline.
I didn't see a single ugly person.
I thought they were all very attractive people. Well, I think there's a gradation of attractiveness. And when you're younger, you're more attractive. I'm sorry. Mother Nature is torturous in this department. Right.
Well, I mean, that may be true, but you guys killed at both events.
Well,
Julia
I'm
going to
not comment.
Well.
I'm not going to comment on
she
that.
She did very, very well.
There's a reason I'm behind the radio. Anyway, so, and that I teach only young girls. If I taught the boys, there'd be like no sex ed going on. There'd be all a bunch of drool hanging onto the desks and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, you'd be one of those teachers like in Grease 2 that everyone wanted to sleep with.
So maybe I tried to make myself look a little bit less buxom blonde, Charles. Did it work? No.
As if.
I should have just worn. No, I don't know what I was wearing that dress for. That's like that was my turning 30. I want to look really hot dress, but I put my hair up just to try to
no,
tone
you
it down.
Beautiful.
I should have just worn a t-shirt and jeans. That would have been better.
No, you shouldn't have.
I feel like you may have had money riding on it because I talked to a couple of daters and they said you were just full force. Constantly touching them and flirting and just. Going at it. You were literally going for the record that night.
Oh, you think? Is that the rumor?
Yeah.
Which daters have told you that?
I can't mention any names.
Okay.
She was definitely putting the moves on everybody. So
I put the moves on everybody anyway. That's my MO, darling.
Well, she's educating other women how to do it.
I'm like that in my regular life. I am a big flirt. So I like to touch, I like to flirt, I like to give eye contact, I like to rub my breasts on people if I can. It does, I should give a flirting workshop. I think I'm...
You should. Yeah. Whereas me, if I don't like somebody, I have a really hard time not letting it show on my face.
Yeah.
I can't fake things.
Yeah.
Whatever I think, it shows up on my face, which is good for acting.
You see, Charlie, I think if I was paying, I would have been a way more of a bitch. I would have been like, whatever. You got something interesting to tell me? Move on. So I think because I was sort of, I felt like I was sort of speaking for Rendezvous Club myself.
Definitely.
And that I had to put on a good face for that. So I had on my biggest, flirtiest charms.
Definitely. Well, I actually checked back through the record books, and you're officially the record holder for one specific event for the number of check marks.
There you go, honey.
Wow,
congratulations.
I hope I made you guys look good and there'll be all the more men the next time.
Sure, for sure.
So thank you for calling in, sweetie.
Well, thanks, and hopefully you guys will be generous to Rendezvous in the future.
We probably will.
We'll still have to check out your single. What is your single mingle event that you've got on Friday nights that you have every week?
We have a little cocktail party. Speed dating isn't for everybody, so Fridays we have a cocktail party. It's We have about 30 to 40 people there, and it's down at a private social club, and on Fridays you can get in through Rendezvous Club.
Is it Campo Verde, or?
That's correct.
That's it. It's Rachel's. Okay.
Sounds cool. I have a couple of girlfriends that want to check that out, so.
Yep. It's a bit of the older crowd. It's about 35 plus.
Okay.
I might not be there.
Whatever.
What? Well,
they're the ones that have the stability that we're looking for.
I know. I want to get married and have children, too, someday.
The youngest, just remember that. She dominated the 25 to 35 category.
It's because I look like I'm 12.
Well, they worship you, babe.
I know, darling. It's because they like me because I look like Lolita and they want to fuck me.
Because she's a little half Asian.
It's my Eurasian beauty. Eurasian. If you had Asian speed dating, I'd do quite well.
Do you guys have Asian speed dating or like any kind of, you know?
You know what?
Lesbian speed dating.
Well, I met a lady the other day. Believe it or not, I was at a party and I ran into somebody who runs an Asian, all Asian speed dating.
Cool.
And, what are the odds that you'd meet somebody else who runs a speed dating service in Vancouver? So I can say it's called letthesparksfly.com, and they do all Asian speed dating. So
Sounds good. I think the bisexual speed dating idea is also a good idea.
Because then they'd be like, there's more people to pick up, because if there's 17 men and 17 women, there's basically 34 people for people to pick up.
I think that's a really good idea. It may be for a longer night, though, won't you think, Charles? I mean, honestly, like if we had 17, or so if we had, like, say, let's just round it up. If we had 30, round it down, if we had 30 bisexuals, you know, even genders in there, man, that'd be a long night, but the possibilities.
Oh, definitely. We'd probably have to hold that at celebrities.
Sounds fun. I don't know how you logistically do the shifting thing.
I
talked
do that.
About one sits, and then maybe you'd have to do a full sit rotation, and then the other people will get to fully sit.
Or it might need to be one of those mingle events, and then
the men all have to meet each other, and the women all have to meet each other,
and then have upstairs rooms available
for lap dancing. All right, so
lap dancing would be lovely. I could teach that part.
All right, so thank you, honey.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you another time.
Bye, baby.
Whoa.
Oh, I forgot to say I'm glad he won his hockey game.
Oh.
Yeah, we didn't have... Maybe that's why I didn't have fun, because Charlie wasn't there for the whole thing.
Yeah, we love Charlie.
We do.
He wasn't around, and so. He was at his hockey game like a boy.
No.
All right, so you know what? We have all this fabulous content that you prepared.
I think we might need to keep it for the second half, babe. What do you think?
There's some men's tips and some women's tips.
And
so.
how to do well at speed dating.
Yeah, and I think they're all pretty funny. I look forward to going over them. I think we might not have enough time for them all, but...
No, but we'll go through them. And
stay tuned, and yeah.
So why don't we take our short break now, and we'll be back. So if you want, give us an email at julie@juiceboxradio.com or give us a call at 604-UBC-CITR. We'll be right back.
I like to watch your hot box. I leave my house, anticipating cruising, using down at the discotheque. Nighttime is for fun. Step to the bar, drink with me for leisure, pleasure. I spy a Fräulein, the party's just begun. Oh, I like to watch, I like the way you bounce, bounce. I like to watch, yeah, groove and move it. I like to watch, shake it if you got it, lady. Here's my confession, I like to watch your hot box. You've got the moves that make me feel so fly high. The way you wiggle and jiggle is astounding. Feel the rhythm, it puts you in the trance dance. You little devil, you've got my heart pounding. I like to watch, I like the way you bounce, bounce. I like to watch, yeah, groove and move it. I like to watch, shake it if you've got it, lady. This is my confession, I like to watch your heart box.
have papers for being so beautiful? I spy with my eye something that is I'll crack your code. Please keep up your digits, keep it. Release your data, the contents of your mind. I see you blushing, adrenaline is blushing, rushing. No need to fear me, I did not come to touch. Shake it if you've got it, lady. Here's my confession. I like to watch your hot box.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Right to Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Hey, welcome back to Juicebox Radio. You're just listening to Prozac's I Like to Watch, which we thought you might want to like to watch. Your hot
speed
box.
Dating.
All about speed dating. You're looking across there. So they're a pretty good group. So we've got some juice berries for you.
Oh, yeah.
So, Julie, you were mentioning about an event earlier that you're going to be at on Saturday.
Oh, just the Carfree Festival. Oh, the Carfree Festival. No, the Boylesque.
Yeah.
Isn't that... The Dollhouse.
That's the 28th, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh. Isn't that this weekend? No. I'm going to go to that one next weekend. I will be there for sure.
The one after that.
I have to be at a family party until my uncle's big, huge yacht. And so I won't be at the Dollhouse till probably after one.
But I want to be on a yacht.
Oh, I would love to invite you, but the family's clamped down. I can't even invite boyfriends. Mm-hmm. But coming up this week, the Carfree Festival. I know that it's not necessarily sexual, but it's sexy. And I'm going to be there on Sunday shaking it at the Tribal Harmonic stage.
I think it is really sexy because you're going to be there and breathing in non-carbon monoxide air. I think that's very sexy.
It is sexy. But yes, the Dollhouse is having an incredible party. I definitely am going to be there. There's breaks, there's Pool Boy, Half Breed, oh my God, Evil Bastard, everything. So it'll be after Luminaries, of course, but I will be there after the... I'm not even going to go to Luminaries. I've been...
Really?
15 years I've been going. It's the 15th year, I think, this year.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be there this year, unfortunately. I've got the family.
And if you have never had
800-foot yacht with the fireworks that I have to be at.
Nice.
For my older brother's birthday. Anyway, whatever. So I'm going to go to that, and then I'm going to go to the Dollhouse.
Dollhouse is going to be fun. The Boylesque, too. If you got a chance to see Boylesque, longer and stronger. Last week, it was pretty cool. There's also an event, isn't there, with the roller derby girls?
That's the following Saturday as well. There's a lot going on that Saturday, July 28th. People need to plan for these things and check out what's happening and not plan to do something all on the same night.
Definitely, because that's out in Richmond, isn't it?
Roller Girl. Yeah, Roller Girl. Bring it on, man. Live roller derby action. Red Rollers versus the Black Eyed Betties. I mean, I would love to be there. And honestly, the 98 Beeline takes you right there, so that'd be hot action. So if you're not in the mood for Luminaries or for whatever, go to that and then go to the Dollhouse after and shake your shit.
And if you dance till dawn, like they're suggesting, you can get up and get on your bike and ride naked the next day on July the 29th, which they're trying to make a world record about the most amount of people riding naked.
I'm going
to
be there.
Are you?
I'm going to ride naked. I have a nice plushy seat from the Burning Man. When I go to Burning Man, you know, you bring your bike down there, and I have a plushy seat that I can sit my little beaver on and ride around. so I think I will do the naked bike ride. Why not?
Oh, well, I think it's great. The Luscious Dance Girls are going to be there as well. They're going to be opening, and I'm going to be a special guest dancer. So I will be there. I will not be on a bike because yours truly does not know how to ride a bike. I know, even after I did Mr. Bike Shop Boy, who owns a bike shop.
There's a very interesting article that was in Momentum Magazine in Vancouver recently of Little Wu herself. Big feature article about her, Asian woman as well, who wasn't allowed to play outside that much. And she learned how to ride a bike later in life, and she's raving about it. So maybe you should read the article.
I have it at home.
And you could talk to Little Wu, and she'd probably inspire you to learn, because she herself did.
Okay.
And she's a little Asian teeny little thing that didn't learn.
It's more the crotch
older factor.
I value my crotch very, very much.
Well, that's why you get the banana seat with the plush seats, honey. Oh. And you just do bike rides like this, like the little booze bike rides and the little cruiser bike rides.
The cruiser bike rides like Denim Bike Shop puts on?
Yes.
All right.
All right.
We've got a few tips. For those of you who are just joining us now, you're on 101.9 FM CITR and you're in Juicebox Radio. So, and if you don't know what we talk about on this show, it is a sex, health, dating show, which we educate you. And tonight what we're educating you on is speed dating, reviewing their Rendezvous Club. And Julia and I went incognito last week and did some research for you. So what we found out now is how women, in terms of what to do, tips.
So I think the tips, like, don't give out any personal details, because speed dating is great. Like internet dating, it's great because it's fun, it's fast, and it's quite safe. So keep it that way by not giving out any personal information so that they can't stalk you, right?
Exactly.
Give clear signals. I think Charles was hinting at me that my signals were a little warm.
And maybe in real life, as we were talking about off
air, men are bad at interpreting.
Men are very bad at interpreting signals.
So make sure you know what you want when you're flirting, and it's to be genuine.
And keep it separate from sexual flirting signals and from the "hi, I'm just being friendly" things.
Flirting signals. Oh my God, I think I broke a few of those laws. All right, so
laugh and the world laughs with you. People love being around charismatic people, which is probably why you did so well, because you are very charismatic.
I think so.
Because they spread good feelings, hence you do. I always feel good when I'm with you. So get yourself into the right state of mind.
Smiling.
By making a fast first
impression.
You probably
didn't smile enough. That's what I think.
Well, they irritated me, so no, I had a hard time. So the only one I think I smiled at was the one that... Yeah, the dancers. The dancers made me laugh. Oh, Julie, you're spilling water on yourself and you're too far away. I can't even lick it up.
Wet t-shirt.
And you're wearing white, too.
Like your mother said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Does that mean I shouldn't be saying all this stuff on the radio?
But don't get up and leave. The story. A little while ago, Russian immigrant attended one of your events, speed dating events. Although he had a PhD, he found it difficult to find a job in his field and was driving a cab to make ends meet. When he arrived at one of our female guest tables, she asked him what he did for a living. A no-no in itself. I think I've done that way too much. And promptly got up and went to sit at the bar when she found out he drove a taxi. Not only is this kind of behavior deeply insulting to the man, it's just plain wrong. It's almost inevitable that some of the people you will meet speed dating will not be right for you. But they are human beings and deserve your respect and courtesy. They've paid to meet you, too.
Which makes me feel like a prostitute, though.
Well, they have. Remember we were complaining last time on the early one, the young ones, where there was three guys missing?
That's true.
That was
$5. Actually.
That's like $3 or $4 or $5 each date that you're getting ripped. So, no, you are both paying to be there, and you pay well, and they do a lot of work for you. And so, yeah, you need to have equal dates, and you should treat each other with respect. All right.
So the next thing is be interesting by being interested. Cut down on the talk about yourself and ask him open-ended questions. Find out about him. After all, people generally enjoy talking about themselves and feel flattered when somebody shows an interest in them. Actually, you know what? That's what I did for the first one, and I think that's why I did really well. And they mentioned that Jay Abrams, a famous marketing expert, tells the story of a conversation he had with a stranger in a bar where he introduced himself when he was in town to do a lecture tour. He then asked the stranger, "What brings you here?" An hour later, the man got up to leave and said, "You know, Miss Mr. Abrams, you're one of the most interesting people I've ever met." Jay recounts that during the entire hour, the only words he spoke were those of the introduction and his first question. People like people who are interested in them.
Or you that have, listen.
Exactly, which I'm not doing right now, but I did do the first time. You don't have to shut up entirely, but when you engage somebody in conversation, make sure you spend at least 60% of the time listening to them. This is a big one. Ask him what he enjoys doing. Women and men often tend to fall back on the line, what do you do? To some men, this can smack of checking for the wallet padding.
Cock in a wallet.
I like that. I may have to steal that. Not everyone is doing the work that they love, and the question may put them on the spot. Men are more actively oriented than women. Ask them what they enjoy doing in their life that will allow you to find out more about what makes them tick.
I did do that with a few men. I did ask them what they enjoyed as opposed to what they did, but most of the men actually offered what they did.
Yeah,
I found like, that so too. I do this. And what do you do? And so I was like, I masturbate once a week. I like to dance. And I was just like,
no wonder you did
I wasn't
so
about
well.
To tell them. No, I didn't say that.
I know, I'm teasing you.
But I wasn't about to tell them, like, oh, you know, I'm a sexual health educator. I've got a radio show. I'm doing my master's at UBC. I, you know, teach mm-hmm. this and I teach that and blah, blah, blah. And I do very well for myself and I'm going to be rich and famous one day.
Exactly. Because like, no. You're following don't give out any personal details rule number one.
So, yeah. Girls, when you're speed dating, be yourself. There's no point assuming a role that you think someone wants you to play or on any date. Just be yourself at all times anyway in your life. That is just a golden rule. So I think,
What?
I just lost my thought.
No, what were you going to say, my darling, about them getting found out and stuff like that?
Being yourself. Oh, I think, yes, when I first arrived at the...
At the event.
I was getting some cattiness from the women in the room, and I wasn't really quite sure what that was about.
That's
so,
because you're so beautiful and vivacious, baby.
Shh.
No,
so,
it's true.
Anyway.
And Charles would even call in and vouch for that. We know
never
that.
Mind,
if
never
he's
mind.
Never mind. Right.
Honey, so what I'm saying is that there are some women looking at me funny and stuff, and so I was like, you know what? I go, don't worry about me. I'm a lesbian. I'm just looking for sperm donors. A couple of the women that were in earshot were like so shocked, looking and like, oh my god.
One of them, I thought she thought took you seriously.
Yes,
and she's. I think
did.
You kind of scared her.
I did.
I know.
Yeah,
it
I
was
like
very
that.
Entertaining.
I like that.
I think it was one of my highlights of the night. Yeah, we were joking
they're
about
like,
that.
Really? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just looking for a sperm donor. So, like, as long as, you know, he looks healthy, that's what I'm looking for. Healthy with, like, symmetrical face features and good teeth.
But that was also our excuse, too, just in case we met anybody that we didn't really want to meet. Dress code. Our simple rule of thumb is for any outfit, if your mother would wear it, you shouldn't. Likewise, if your daughter would wear it, you shouldn't wear that either. If you look in the mirror and think, do I look ridiculous in it? Let's face it, you probably do.
Yes, ladies.
Here are five simple tips for dressing on a speed date. Number one, if it doesn't fit, don't wear it. Although you're squeezing your size 14 boobs into a skimpy size 8 top might be great for your ego, it's not great for your circulation.
And it makes you look like a tramp.
Exactly. And nor should you hide your shape behind a billowy clothes that make you look like you're about to set sail. And I mean, let's face it, if you're going to pass out, yeah. I mean, although he, you know, that ambulance guy, that may have been a great way to pick him up if he passed out and he might have to do like mouth to mouth.
Oscar the Grouch? Oh, he'd be good at that.
I bet he'd like it way too much.
I like the way he looks.
Number
first.
Two.
Okay.
Wearing appropriate makeup. Makeup should enhance your features, not hide them. Make sure that to use shades that match your natural skin tone. Contrary to popular belief, men actually do notice when your neck is a different color than your face. Aim to look like a natural beauty that wakes up looking that way, not a result of a 3-coat paint job.
Now, this is interesting because this has been the truth for decades. Decades, ladies, it doesn't change whether you're speed dating or just out and about. Anyway...
Number three, if you're driving or planning to take a cab, you can wear the sexiest, most impractical heels that you've got. After all, it's the men that move around while you stay seated, which I think is bullshit because
you had trouble.
I had sore feet.
Get...
My ass was sore from that sore wooden seat.
And you couldn't.
And I couldn't walk.
You couldn't walk. You stood
I needed
up.
Help.
You were an invalid.
Granted. Three men offered to help me down those stairs, and I was third most popular. You were number one. I was number three, so which isn't too bad in a case of 17 women. So, but considering I was being a bitch for most of the night.
I think guys get off on the bitch sometimes. All right, so wear sexy underwear. You'll feel like a femme fatale. If you feel sexy underneath, you're going to come across that way. I think that's true. I always wear matching paws and panties now if I can help it.
I just wear none.
Good.
And just make sure I'm shaved.
Excellent. What about the clitty litter?
The what?
The clitty litter that comes out of your vagina and onto your pants or your skirts or on the chair that you happen to be sitting.
Well, I do wear underwear sometimes.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah,
anyway.
I guess otherwise it would be just leaving a little extra. I'm just kidding, of course. And being very crass and crude.
So crass and crude, yes.
Don't
here we
overdress.
Are on Juice Box Radio. Crass and crude. Don't overdress. I think I did.
You did, but yes, it worked really well. I disagree that this does not work, because I overdressed on the first time. Remember, I was wearing that short little skirt and those lace-up shoes, and I kicked butt. I was number one popular girl, and you wanted to do more.
I wore super busty, like my tits were falling out of this red top.
You also wore pants, and you were more demure on your first one, where you were like vampy, va-va-voom, beautiful, non-busty, gorgeous, just beautiful.
Non-busty?
Gorgeous.
I had my tits were falling out.
No, for the second time. You were dressed up. Like, you look like you're going out where somebody could take you out.
Right.
And you looked really beautiful. So not that you didn't look beautiful it's the first time, but the first time you're, as you said, more busty, you're the buxom blonde.
Yes.
And it was different where the guys really, really jumped to that. Your results, your voting, like, it totally proves that.
Girls, make sure you dress up. All right. There's also tips for boys. I think the boys need a little bit of tips.
There is.
Right?
Laugh and the world laughs with you, which I think is kind of similar to the women's one, which we're just talking about. Just making everybody feeling really good and getting them to laugh. Concentrate on the conversation, not on getting a second date. I hate when guys do that.
I found that was really big with the older crowd as opposed to the younger crowd.
Definitely.
I found the older crowd was very, like, on, you know, they were very authentic. They were just, the conversation was relaxed and real. I didn't feel like it was really pushed. I know that you couldn't hear your dates, but I could hear mine. And they were very, like, the conversations were very real, except for the comedians that came and sat down, and they were just funny.
They made me laugh so much. Mm-hmm. It made my light.
Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you need to sort of, like, not be all the focus on getting a second date and, like, what is the right thing to say, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Uh-huh. And giving genuine compliments.
But not too many.
Yeah.
You know what? If they're authentic compliments, then I think not. I don't know if I totally agree with that.
Just pour them on you? Would you prefer that?
Oh, yeah. I love poured on compliments if they're genuine. But, I mean, I agree with this, where it's nothing worse than somebody giving out a load of, like, all these lines where they're just trying to make it. You know, everybody gets the same ones where they've just given them to you and I can hear them, you know.
Oh, God, the next person. You have the most beautiful eyes. You're like, whatever. I did give that compliment to one of the men. He had the most beautiful green eyes, and they were striking. And right away, I was like, wow, your eyes are just amazing. And I was very genuine, and I was very taken aback. And, of course, you know, I'm sure he ticked me just purely from that. I could have said stupid things throughout the time. But, you know, compliments should be genuine always.
Mm-hmm. No, always. They definitely should, whether you're giving them to males or females. And men, keep your hands to yourself and respect their space. Although it seems to work the opposite way around, hey? Yeah, it goes.
What do you mean? Is this yours? Okay.
Yes, it is. I'm teasing you. But you know how Charlie was saying that they were mentioning about your hands touching and wandering hands and not
Charles
being afraid.
Did talk about me touching.
He did mention
these men
that, but apparently it doesn't work the other way around, which I agree with that, because some people are known as space invaders. I love that. Even when engaging in a casual chat, they just seem to get a little too close, and some women have no objections to touchy-feely encounters. Others are horrified by it, so respect the person until you've figured out a little bit more about her. Touching can be effective flirty action, but it should be confined to the arms or resting the hand just above the arm, not touching until you know more. And I agree with that.
I didn't get touched once, not on either. Actually, two of the younger guys from the younger group did touch my arm or hand. I didn't get touched by any of the other men. They went to shake my hand a few times, and that was it. I did find that was different, but I think it was on the breaks and on the whatever. I'm just a touchy-feely girl. I'm sure I just grabbed their arm and was, like, shaking their arm going, don't you think so, blah, blah, blah. Like,
I'm touchy-feely too,
whatever, but Charlie.
It's a double standard, darling, with men and women. Let's face it. You know,
it is, and it should be, because I'm sorry, the men have the penis and they penetrate and there's danger there.
There is. I mean,
women are like, how can we hurt you? I mean, maybe we could put our fingers in your ass, but
pretty much
it's not going to hurt that much unless
we'll even
we
take
fist
something
you without
like
anything. But then
something.
We would need a lot of strength to do
yes,
that.
Yes, we would.
So
and they'd have to stay still enough for us to fist them.
There's not a lot of danger. I think with it, there's this danger of penetration thing, which really kind of does this umbrella experience over women. It's the experience of men and men touching them, because men are stronger. I'm sorry, they are stronger.
They
even
are
when
stronger.
They're the same size as we are, they are stronger than us. Mm-hmm. So there's that reality that is going to threaten.
No, they definitely.
So, yeah, men don't touch. I think that's good.
No, I think it's a really good one.
Yeah.
Clothing and personal hygiene. Oh, God, wear clothes that make you feel good. And some of the men just did not know how to dress. I'm sorry. I want to give them my card and say...
A lot of men don't know how to dress, honey.
I know.
But a lot of men. I'd say the majority of men.
We need to start our own business and teach them how to dress properly.
Yeah, because a lot majority of men, I tend to just not even care because it's just like not until 6 months in do I even try to make them dress differently because it's just like, oh my God.
See, I think the problem with it is most of my male friends are very good looking. And
you're into the metrosexuals, honey.
And not all of them are metro, though, but they look very good. Like, even, you know, like Regan and Justin, if you're listening, you know, Bill, all you guys, you all look absolutely fantastic.
Always dress up very, very well.
They do. It's just lovely to see. And I guess I kind of hold my dates to that higher standard. But the other thing is also make sure that you're clean and you smell good. And that's a big one because there was a few people who were kind of scary there, like somebody we won't mention's name who happened to be rubbing his nose and picking his nose.
Yes, he's rubbing his nose, picking his nose. There was also a couple of guys who had nose hairs coming out of their nose that were very long.
I wrote about that in my blog.
And so there were, you know, nose hairs coming out of the nose. And so you're trying to talk to somebody and all you can see their nose hairs moving. And you're kind of like, And now if you had a full beard, the nose hairs would just integrate into the mustache and you wouldn't normally see them. But it's like if you're going to shave your mustache, you got to get one of those little trimmers that goes up to the nose. And then, I don't know, other personal hygiene things. I found some men.
If you do have facial hair, make sure, because there were a couple guys who had crumbs in their facial hair. And that was really gross. Stop staring at the crumbs. I noticed these things.
Okay, you're right. If you're going to eat, you were careful. I mean, you whipped out the frickin' dental floss after you were eating.
I did.
Just to make sure that you're not going to have some piece of bit in your teeth. And it's true. And I think, you know, because it's that 5 minute speed dating, you got 5 minutes to make a big impression. It's like you're going into a job interview.
Job interview, they've actually done studies. People decide whether or not they like you within the first 7 seconds they lay eyes on you. Within the first 2 minutes, they decide whether or not that you're even in the running for a position for a job. So,
exactly.
I mean, we're genetically engineered that way. So first impressions are very, very, very important. So
very important.
Going in with confidence, feeling really good about yourself. I think it's
if you're going to pay $50 to go and do one of these things, you got to like make sure that you put in that much time.
You do.
I mean, for a lot of us, that's an hour and a half, 2 hours of effort. For some of us, 5 hours of effort. So
do it.
Make sure that you ask a friend, what do I look like? How's this outfit? Do I look fat in it? Is my nose hairs growing? Do I have eye burgers? Blow your nose before you go.
Do you have monobrow? Do I have dandruff? Do I need Head and Shoulders commercial?
There was two guys out of the 17 that had...
Yeah, I smelt it.
That had rotten teeth breath. So they weren't just like, because, you know, I'm sure they were brushing their teeth before.
No, you could smell the plaque.
They had like rotten teeth breath. Like they needed to go to the dentist. They had a cavity. And I was just like, oh my God, have you been to your dentist lately? That's the first thing I want to say to them.
Yeah.
Not that I can't stand the smell because I know what it is. I know it's rotten teeth smell.
It made me gag.
Yeah.
I mean, I
just
couldn't hear them, but I could smell them.
I just back up and put a note on my thing. Needs to see a dentist.
Just as long as they don't spray and spit. There were a few spitters, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you get excited, you tend to spit sometimes. I do agree with you. You need to control yourself.
You do.
Control yourself.
And that's another thing, actually, I do want to add as another point, too. Some of them were a little overzealous. And perhaps we should follow the Ben Stiller example in Something About Mary, which is jerk off before you go so you're not overzealous, you're calm and relaxed because you're not horny.
You think some of them are horny?
I do. I think some of them are really horny, so it calms them down. And I mean that just in general for men who are dating. Just go jerk
what
off.
What if
first.
They're Taoist sexuals? They don't
what?
Come. What if they're Taoist and they're tantric and they don't like to come? They just jerk off. Would make the
meditate.
Thank you. Thank you, Caroline. That is the answer.
So it's kind of neat, hey? Like, is that you were most popular at this event.
I had so much fun because I was so much more relaxed. There was a couple other people that were there before that it wasn't their first time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't our first time. So I actually had so much better of a time because I knew what to expect. Like, the first time I was pretty nervous. I was kind of like, oh, my God, I've never done anything like this. I've heard about it for years and it freaks me out. So I was kind of just like, and I felt quite exhausted. Mm-hmm. After the first round of the first time. This time I felt I knew how much time and effort it would take. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of just like I was sort of reserved my energy and I had a lot of it anyway. Mm-hmm. So
this one I found draining. I didn't like the venue. I couldn't hear, which I think was a big part of it. So when you're sitting there for 5 minutes and you can't hear somebody.
Well, it was an hour and a half, but yeah.
It feels forever. And it was basically, I'd rather inject myself with needles than go through that again if I can't hear them. I feel bad because it wasn't necessarily the men, but it was definitely was not comfortable with the venue. And a lot of the guys actually who did come by and sat with me said, wow, like every...
Can't hear anything.
Hear a thing. So it was, that particular space was not good, just in general.
So I think, like you were saying, you know, a lot of things worked, some things didn't. I liked how authentic they were, just being older and more confident or something.
I liked the energy at the first one because people were excited to be there, whereas this one I found the nerves got in the way a little too much. Mm. So there wasn't as much, the energy was flatter at the beginning, like it was almost like they're trying to contain and not feeling particularly comfortable. But you know what? One thing I did like about it is that you need to find the right event in terms of speed dating. Like, and there's so many companies out there that offer so many great events. Like even Charlie, we're talking about him, about the Mix and Mingle, which has nothing to do with speed dating, but it is, again, another way for singles to meet and mingle. But there's just so many different types of speed dating, everything from we were talking about Asian speed dating. There's even, I saw Found a Fit and Healthy speed dating on the internet, brunch and lunch speed dating,
oh, wow.
University educated speed dating. So it's kind of cool. So you can, if there's something that you really want, you can kind of find that. But what was nice about
the Art Club?
Was it
all in the Art Club? Rendezvous Club?
No, these are just different other ones.
In Vancouver,
I won't mention the competition, but definitely in Vancouver. But what was really cool about the Art Club was I liked that it had a healthy mix of everybody. Like you were mentioning earlier, different heights, different ethnicities, different tax brackets. Like there was a bike courier there, and then there's like...
There was people that were commercial divers. There was, pilot trained.
Point Grey Road.
Yeah, people that trained pilots to... pilots, and there was construction people there, and lots of IT guys and stuff.
There's
like
a lot.
Yeah, so it was a nice mix, you know.
It was. So, I mean, it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't had a chance to do it. I mean, just do it for the experience of doing it if you get a chance. And just try and make sure you can hear. And maybe perhaps what I should have done is that intermission, instead of begging you to leave with me, maybe I should have talked to them. If Charlie was there, I probably would have, and just said, I can't hear a single thing anybody's saying, so can I move? And I don't know if they could have done anything at the event because of the way it's set up, and it was pretty tight, contained space. But next time, maybe I should have followed up on that. But then again, I'm also one of those people who doesn't complain at restaurants either.
No, you never do.
So I tend to suppress and suppress
you
and
do.
Suppress.
You do.
So that's partly me, too, so I'll take a little bit of that blame. But
why
you know
you
what?
You need to masturbate more.
I masturbate enough. I just haven't this week. But
I just didn't know what to say about that.
I know.
On air, live.
I know.
So I think you had a really good idea, Caroline.
Which I think we should just move to Whistler.
Yeah.
There's a great article in The Province today, which according to the 2006 census, British Columbia has 100 women to every 96 men. And obviously this varies from city to city. But apparently Whistler has 116 men to every 100 women. So, Julia, if you're ever single again, I think we definitely need to book a girls' trip up there.
Oh, yeah?
And then perhaps we could do a show about it.
Yeah, I think we could. We could write it all off.
I think so. Revenue Canada would definitely have to let us write it off.
We'd have to go for a whole weekend. We'd have to go Thursday to Sunday and get a real
experience.
Sense and do some interviews and get men to take us out and sort of see how much we're coveted.
Oh, I think would be very
Revenue
coveted.
Canada probably let us write that off, I'm sure.
I think so. Because, I mean, that way, if we're getting people to marry and stuff like that, isn't that better? Because
we're
creating...
getting people to marry, yes, because you did see that article in Maclean's. Are you going to breed? What will it take us to breed? Us in Canada, we're not having enough babies.
No, we're not. So, especially in Vancouver, where we've got, even though I love it, a wonderful gay
baby
population, but... not enough men for us breeders.
Mm.
But anyway, we hope that everybody that you enjoy.
On that note, breeding.
fuck.
making babies.
Even though I'm abstaining until I'm ready to make babies.
Rah. Somebody impregnate Caroline, will you?
That means I actually have to have sex, Julia.
Oh.
And that's...
sex is so complicated.
It is very complicated. But I mean, perhaps I will start dating again one of these days.
What does dating mean?
It means hanging out with somebody and them treating me really wonderful and me returning that favor and treating them with respect and spending a lot of time with them and actually going out once in a while, doing things that we like to do together.
And then shagging like monkeys.
No, not necessarily. A good makeout session can work too.
Oh, come on. Anyway.
All right.
Hans is in the house.
Hans is here. And very, very, very sexy. So anyway, we hope that you enjoyed tonight's show. So, I mean, write in about your about the speed dating thing, because Julie and I are going to be back next week with another fresh and very juicy, juicy show.
Oh, I'm so excited about next week's show.
We've got...
James Lowen is going to be with us talking about genital integrity. I met this guy years ago at Pride and recently was on a panel with him on sex experts for some school, psychology school and whatever, and spoke to him again. And I'm so stoked on having him on the show. I had a little quick talk on the phone a couple weeks ago. The stories that he gave were so intriguing and interesting. And I know
can
that
you give our listeners.
I'm not going to tell.
Put a little teaser in there.
No, it's just really, really entertaining, amazing, riveting stories about genitals that have been mutilated, like through circumcision and other kinds of things, and just. For the parents out there that are concerned about whether or not they should circumcise their baby boys, after this show, you will definitely be, I think, will be able to make your decision for yourself. He's also an incredible storyteller. He himself has been circumcised and has lots of stories to tell men how to sort of regain some of your ability to move the skin over the shaft and the head, which is, pardon me?
That's abuse.
I think it's abuse. I do. Cutting off the skin of somebody who has no choice, and I don't think it's your organ to remove without consent.
And so, if you want to check it out beforehand, you can actually listen to one of our old previous podcasts. I can't remember which one it was. When
long
we did
time
about,
ago.
Male
men's pleasure. Men's pleasure. It's about men's pleasure, actually, because I connect it to erectile function later in life that you have your foreskin. Now, I don't want to discount the religions in the world that believe about cutting the foreskin off. If you need to continue to do that, fine.
But there is James a podcast also, if you check about
that's
it, too.
Where the problem is.
James also has some stories about different people that are Jewish and other religions where they know that it's in their books to do
but
this sort of thing,
to.
But choose not to, and why. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of... It's going to be a very riveting and very interesting show, not just about circumcision, but other things like intersexuals, what they're all about, trans people, etc., and just some interesting stories about
that. I think it should be really
too.
Great. I'm looking forward to pre-interviewing him and having him on the show next week.
Yeah.
So everybody stay tuned for Hans Klaus's Misery Hour with Marion, and that's coming up next on CITR 101.9. What was that?
Uncut.
He's uncut.
Marion is uncut.
He's going to have to pull it out for us one day.
Oh.
I hope your wife's not listening.
Is his wife listening?
I hope.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening.
He is a very sexy man to be miserable with.
Oh, my God. Enjoy. We've enjoyed having you. We'll be back next week.
In many ways.
At the sexy
hour of 10 o'clock.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out Juicebox Radio.